This is Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Corby Midline.
You might have noticed a new theme song and a new name. Fire Through Spirit has been my calling since I first went public with this work in 1994, though I'd been doing it privately for 20 years before. The name originally meant the fire of healing through the spirit of compassion. I'm a hands-on healer on top of the rest of what I do. But it's come to mean the fire of ideas to light the spirit of the world and the spirit in each one of us. That's why we're shifting the show focus from where it's been since we started in 2011. We originally saw this as a show for doing readings with the occasional guest. In 2 years, that's gone topsy-turvy. We now do the occasional readings, but we, and you, our listeners, have come to love the discussions, the dialogues, and the discovery that happens when we bring on new and different voices. So that's the new format. There are dozens and dozens of reader shows out there, all more or less consisting of Will I Marry John, or How Many Children Will I Have, or Can I Speak with My Angel / Spirit Guide / Anyone Around Me? And while they are valid questions, they're not necessarily useful to everyone listening. So while we'll still do a reading segment a couple of times a year, it will be the unusual treat, not the usual menu. We want Fire Through Spirit to be something you refer to again and again, where you share a particular, a compelling podcast with friends, and you come away with a whole new idea of how to live your life to its most delicious potential. So I'm thrilled to start our new format out with a bang. My guests tonight are Terry and Linda Jameson, known internationally as the Psychic Twins. They have an unrivaled track record of accurate predictions. They're most famous for their stunning prophecy on the 9/11 World Trade Center terrorist attacks, the Pentagon attacks, and the May 2000 stock market crash, all of which were made on international radio, Art Bell's Coast to Coast AM in 1999. Terry and Linda have hundreds of appearances to their credit on international TV and radio, including ABC Nightline Beyond Belief, The View, GMA, Oprah's Own Network. They have also starred in 16 documentary films, including Psychic Children on A&E, Extreme Twins, and Hollywood Ghost Stories. The Psychic Twins are the authors of the number one bestseller, Psychic Intelligence, and their autobiography, Separated at Earth, The Story of the Psychic Twins. And otherwise, they got a hefty amount of street cred. Ladies, it is a pure pleasure to have you on the show with me.
Oh, it's great to be here again, Corby. It's been a while since we did your show.
Yeah, it's probably been about 15 years.
Yeah.
Since we did your show, Crystal Palace.
They remember when I was doing the Crystal Palace back on our little community AM radio show where the listenership was about 14 people and a sheep. And so that night. Ladies, what I want to talk to you about isn't predictions. You do that on every single show. What I'm interested in specifically is what I call psychic responsibility, ethics, if you will, around being an intuitive with a public face.
These days,
so many people come up to me and say, I want to do what you do. And they want to do it because they feel they have a calling. Well,
right.
My saying is, 9 billion people in the world, and I can't read them all. So you are welcome to the table. But I don't care if you read for the local community center or you become as high profile as someone like you two. There are certain things you need to face up to and agree to if you're going to be doing that work. And that's where I want to know where you stand. So if someone is going to come and play out in the field with us, how do they have to start inside?
Oh, that's a great question.
Good question.
And it's a wonderful topic because we feel like it isn't discussed enough, Corby, and it's not taught in schools. And I feel like ability is going to take you to the top of any field, but it takes character to keep you there. That's actually a reference to a Zig Ziglar quote. And what we find is that in any field, there is a lack of character, a lack of ethics. But we're all about, as Buddhists, we're all about living our lives and conducting our psychic work in a manner that is of the highest integrity so that everyone is helped. If we don't do that, as Buddhists, we believe in cause and effect. It boomerangs back on us in a negative way. It's funny because I was researching psychic ethics online, and I found a blog about psychic ethics, and the woman had stolen everything from our book.
Okay. So much for ethics.
So much for ethics out the window there.
Without crediting us. We feel it's very sacred work, don't you, Corby? It's very, very sacred work. And we have to honor the sacred nature of psychic work. It's a service of the highest intention, or should be, highest intention and vibration.
It's how I described in 1994, all of a sudden I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. The door just blew open. And
wow.
I consider that when I got my draft notice from the big guy upstairs, hello, you mind? Sit down, I'm going to teach you about what you're going to do. And when you do that, you can't say, but I can only be available Tuesdays and Fridays because, you know, you're looked at and they laugh and they say, tell us another one. Mm-hmm. You can set your boundaries. For instance, there are a lot of people who will just walk up to a stranger and say, I have a message from your Uncle Donald, or I see that you're going to be in a near-miss car accident. I call that drive-by psychic shootings.
That's exactly what we call it, psychic drive-bys.
And we also call it psychic terrorism.
Yes.
Yeah. Not everybody's in a space to receive that message, right? And you could be talking to somebody who's literally mentally or psychologically imbalanced, and they may not know what to do with that information. So you have to be so careful.
They control? Yes. It's another reason why people are scared of psychics. If we do that, then they walk by us and they're thinking, is she inside my head right now? Ew. You know,
right.
Take a look at Marvel Mutants.
Right. Well, it's
funny
because Linda's been reading my mind all day today, and I said, you're violating my code of psychic ethics. Get out of my head. She's done it all day long. And, you know, we're making light of it, but it's such a horrible betrayal and violation, you know, when people pretend to be psychic. They pretend they made predictions they didn't make. They say they predicted something. There's no proof. There's no link. Where's the link?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't lie about the work that you've done. That's number one. Don't pretend to be a medium if you're not. Don't call yourself a psychic medium if you're a medium.
If you're just a medium, not that to take away from that, but don't advertise yourself as also a psychic or a prophet if you do not have any world predictions that you've ever made.
Don't say that you're internationally famous if you did a couple of fairs locally. You know, there's a million reasons, you know, that we're doing this show, but the American Association of Professional Psychics has a code of ethics. And their number three on their list is avoid fraudulent practice, strive for quality in readings and all metaphysical and spiritual work, set reasonable fees, keep readings confidential. We recently worked with a friend, we've probably known her 20 years, and she was practicing hypnotherapy. We said, sure, we'll be, you know, your guinea pigs. Well, she transcribed our session and posted it online.
Without our permission.
Needless to say, we're no longer friends. But that's like the highest betrayal, not only of a friendship, but of the work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, when
horrendous.
I talk about how to choose a psychic, I compare it to choosing a lawyer. You would want to make an appointment and know that it would be kept on time.
Yes.
You would want to have things explained to you so you know what's happening. You'd also want to know what you would be charged. You would want to have things explained to you in layman's language. You know, lawyer style, I say, yeah, habeas corpus and sui generis, and what the heck does that mean about the guy who stole my lawnmower? You would want to be treated, with, you know, basically with courtesy and respect, not as an ignorant simpleton, not as money in 2 feet, and not as a supplicant. That's for a lawyer, and it's the same for going to any psychic, intuitive medium. You deserve the same amount of care and treatment. And if you as an intuitive are not willing to play that game, then fine, do it for friends. Don't take money for it, and don't bill yourself as a professional, because you're not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. There's no governing body in this field, the psychic intuitive field, is there? There's no overseeing body that protects people from being swindled or hurt or betrayed in some way. And there's no licensing process. So anybody basically can hang up a shingle and say, I'm a world famous psychic, and have absolutely no proof, but they advertise themselves as world renowned. And this is, it's sad, but it is a gigantic con that's being perpetrated by millions of people that are not really qualified to do the work we're doing. And I think it's a crime. I think it's a terrible violation of people's trust and boundaries.
And we say don't be a psychic to be rich and famous, because if you're striving to be rich and famous, it's going to backfire on you, and it's kind of ugly, you know, the energy you'll get from that. It's like, do it altruistically to help people doesn't mean do it for free, because there should be an exchange of energy or money for what you do.
Absolutely.
We totally believe that.
Yeah.
But don't do it to be rich and famous, because you won't get rich and famous doing this work.
Not if you do it right. That's very true.
That's right.
I know that, you know, I mean, I am in what Dear Allie calls the travel channel. I'm a road warrior, and I'm on the road usually about 100 nights a year because I love it. So I do fairs and expos coast to coast and into Canada, and guaranteed that there will be various people at a show who says, well, can you do it for X amount being less than what I charge? And I look at them and I smile and I say, can't do that. They go, but why? I said, number one, the booth is $600. I'm on the road for 5 nights. I'm away from my husband, and this is how I make a living. Besides, if I don't charge what I say I'm going to charge, that's telling the universe, I don't really think I'm worth this. But
that's
here's
right.
what I'll do. If you call me at this day, at this time, on this phone number, I will do a reading for you pro bono. Now, you see, I will make that offer to 10 people. Mm-hmm. One will take me up on it because that person really couldn't afford it and did need the reading, and everybody else was trying to handle me into a discount. So I let spirit solve it. I really do.
Right.
We deserve to get paid like a plumber or a doctor or a master chef,
right.
exactly for the energy change.
Oh, so true. You know, I love that. I love what you
said. I do too.
Take it and run with it. None of this is copyrighted. When someone...
It wouldn't matter if it were, let me tell you.
Yeah, copyright, as we found, that copyright doesn't protect you anyway.
It means pretty much nothing.
But, yeah, I mean, we've seen that, you know, in the media, but there's a tremendous lack of ethics in the media and publishing, as we have found out, sadly. And every major network has censored our predictions, and that's psychic terrorism. And, you know, when you go on a major TV show like The View, you're not expecting them to edit out our accurate predictions, but they did. You know what I'm saying? So that's psychic ethics. That's a lack of ethics.
Yeah, it is.
And
the mainstream media.
We're very public about that because we're the only ones that it's happened to. And we want people to know this is what's happening. People will take our shows, put them online, edit them down, take out our predictions, and pretend we never said them.
Yeah, the mainstream media tries to present and define psychics in a way that makes us totally unacceptable. They try to delegitimize our track record and our influence. It's a media agenda, and we want people to be aware that this is happening. So in case they see it happening online, they can call people out on it, which we rarely see. But we'd love to see people kind of maybe be more, defend what we've done here. We're really legitimizing psychic work by documenting all of our hundreds of specific world predictions in a scientific way. And we've done that for over 15 years and predicted hundreds of world events in the media, TV, radio, print. And what we're seeing is as we get better known for doing this, the media is trying to put the kibosh on what we're doing and present us as if we are actually frauds. So they'll take a whole long prediction about the Denver terror attack in the movie theater, and they'll edit it down to, we see something in Denver. And when we gave them a long radio tape from Allie Keslick's show,
And she gave them permission to use it and said, don't edit this. And they edit it down to, like, just the city of Denver. And they take out the entire prediction to air on the Jeff Probst show and make it look like we never said anything, just for the crowd response and to see people gasp, and also just because they love to play takeaway. Now, this is another kind of violation of our boundaries, and it's an arrogance of power that's rife in the media.
Oh, for sure. We've had our books stolen by major publishers, and we had no recourse because no one's won a copyright violation lawsuit in 10 years in the courts, and nobody knows this.
No, nobody knows.
Corby, nobody knows it, and that's psychic ethics. And people have stolen our identity three times now.
Mm-hmm.
Fake psychics have stolen our identity and our videos and pretended to be the psychic twins. And we caught them at it, and we stopped them because we are the ones that are trademarked and copyrighted. And we own the domain name, too. So we have you have to protect yourself legally as much as you can in this field, because people will just take and take and take.
It's a
wild west.
It's a full-time job, though, isn't it? And these people are preying on the vulnerabilities of people that are really in a dark place. You know, they may have just lost their mother to a horrendous illness, and so they're preying on their vulnerabilities and saying, well, I'm a world-renowned psychic who did all these things, and I can help you, and then you don't know what you're getting. It's a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get.
It's like, you know, I just have this thing about gypsies. Now, there are real gypsies and Roma. Madam Mickey up in Toronto is a friend. She's no fraud. I know her. She's okay. But gypsies are easy to fake. That's when they put on the headscarves and the jingling jewelry and the long skirt, and they do bad Russian accent, and they can be gypsy.
Like Madame Blavatsky.
Yeah, please. I call them Madam Hoo-Ha and Swami Swalanda. This is what I saw in Canada, which is why I started teaching psychic boot camp. There was a woman who comes tearing out from behind her table and grabs a woman going by. And, you know, that's it. It's called hooking, and it's as bad as the other kind of hooking. And she says, you no need to pay $30, $40, $50. I reach a palm for $10. She takes the woman in. She goes, ooh, you have a family curse. How many in your family? 4? You have dog? $50 every family member. $25 for dog. He's small. The woman leaves the booth 20 minutes later, hysterically crying, and $400 lighter.
Oh my God.
Because the woman had convinced her, if she didn't burn 400 specially blessed candles at the Roman Catholic Church, I bless real good, only $1 candle, her entire family was going to die in a car accident in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's the worst kind of fraud.
Exactly. And that is who people like you and I have to make up for. And everybody out there who's listening going, oh, my God, do I really want to do this kind of thing? Yes, you do. We need you.
Yeah,
but you have to be aware.
Well said. Well said. Yes, our friend Kim Greenhouse says you have to be a good steward of the gift.
It's a sacred
in
gift.
Stewarding psychic power. And she refers to it as a gift that is very sacred, and we need to value it and support other people in speaking out when there is a fraudulent person operating and violating boundaries and taking advantage of people that simply are ignorant and don't really understand. It's always going to exist. You know, we can't pretend this is all of a sudden going to change just because we're talking about it now publicly. It's always going to exist, but I think we can go a long way to making people aware of what ethics, psychic ethics and morals are, you know, important, and professionalism, as you mentioned, that is not being taught.
By being an example, just by doing your work with integrity, Corby, you create this ripple effect of, you know, great integrity, and people will see that you're role modeling this proper behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And to everyone. So it's like everything you do is holding that.
Yeah, in alignment with the highest aspects of ourselves, our Buddha nature, as we call it in Buddhism.
Remember the old saying, the ripple of a butterfly wing causes a tsunami in Colombia or something?
Yes, we wrote about that butterfly effect in our book,
psychic intelligence.
Okay. Now, everyone out there who is thinking, do I really want to do this? You must realize every session you have, every look ahead, I won't call it a prediction, I'll say every look ahead that you bring to someone's notice, every meeting, you are the butterfly wing that will create the tsunami effect for good or ill for every one of your brother and sister intuitives, everyone.
Oh, it's so true. And brilliant. You know, when we do our work, our intention has always been, as Buddhists for 30 years, our intention has always been to, you know, really hold that vibration of integrity and really franchise our frequency. And we're finding out that that is so true. You know, the butterfly wings are catching on all over the world. People are really feeling our vibration, and we're really, it's just the two of us. We don't have a staff. We don't have PR. We don't have agents.
We don't have managers. A secretary.
Everything we do has been just us, and that's because of our intention.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to dilute it, and we don't compromise. In the shows we choose to do, it has to be the highest vibration show, such as you yourself, because you carry that same high integrity vibration and intention. And we feel that linking with people such as you, Ali Cheslick, David Baker, we are able to then hold the resonance at a much higher level for others to then tune in and kind of catch the vibe and ride along with us. It's changing. I mean, there's definitely psychic work is really achieving more. We're receiving more respect and more interest from the public. People are being held to a higher standard, I think, in general, because of what we've all modeled for the public. And I think it's harder and harder to get away with saying, I predicted that too, without providing some kind of proof on tape.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, let me ask, I do. I want to ask you to define something for me. You talk about a medium, a psychic medium, and you, if you will, put them in different file cabinets. Can you define those for me? Because that may not be something that I'm aware of, and I'd like to know how you see that.
Well, this is the thing. What I have found, both of us have found, is that lots of psychic teachers and mediums will say, mediumship is a higher art form. It's a greater gift.
A greater
than
skill.
Being a psychic. And right. They usually, almost always will say, if you're a psychic, then you're just doing a mind
read.
A mind read, or, you know, you're just reaching into that person's mind. But mediumship is a higher art. Well, first of all, that isn't true. Secondly,
not at all.
If you are doing mediumship, it's not really psychic. It's a different thing. Psychic, it doesn't just involve telepathic reading of minds. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've demonstrated that by predicting 400 of the biggest world events over the last 15 years publicly on TV and radio.
So we're not reading minds.
We're not reading minds when we predict the future.
Right.
And so future prophecy is part of being a psychic. I think the word psychic gets misunderstood so much because TV has made it look all spooky and scary, but being psychic, we wrote a whole book about it called Psychic Intelligence, which was a number one bestseller twice, and it's really so many things. It's so many aspects of intuition and metaphysics. We want to encourage everyone to read our book, because we go into so much depth about the four clairs and how we receive messages. There's science in the book. We always say, look, it's our job to know how this works. Mm-hmm. If you see a psychic say, I don't know how it works, then they're not really, you know, people of integrity. You have to know how it works.
You have to be able to explain it.
It's like, would you go to a surgeon and if the surgeon said,
I don't know how it works,
would you go to that surgeon?
And he had no track record of previous surgeries that were successful that he could show you? I doubt it.
No.
Medium is somebody that...
Your life in your hands.
What? We can't hear you, Corby.
I said, you're literally taking your life in your hands with a surgeon, and in a sense, you're doing the same thing. Go to an intuitive who does not have your best interest at heart.
Yes, you are. People have been ruined by bogus claims and fraudulent, you know, people that claim to have a gift, a skill set they simply do not have. And I know people that just starting out, they take a weekend course and they're already charging what we're charging for a reading after doing it for 30 years. They're already charging, you know, 20, 21-year-olds that I've honestly seen on TV going out and charging, you know, $500, $700 for a 30-minute session. That's like beyond belief. And people are paying it because they're on TV. They think, oh, they must be good.
Must be good if they're on TV.
And so it's really something that I think people need to be very careful about what they're getting sucked into. That's just arrogance at its worst. You need to develop this gift over many years and start at a very, maybe even a rate of donation only, so that you can, you know, grow the ability and develop those psychic muscles so that you have a sense of confidence about what your skill set is. And it might be very different from what you think it is when you first start out.
Yes.
It took us many years before we charged anything. It took us maybe 8 or 10 years of doing the work before we charged a dime for what we did. And we had to know we were good before we even started charging $40, $50. And I don't see that happening too much these days.
No, one of the things that I tell people when they're saying, well, how much should I pay? I say, look, I will tell you a very important metaphysical secret. A $1,000 psychic is not necessarily 10 times better than a $100 psychic.
That's true.
You go to people in Lilydale, there are some superb people there.
They charge
pittance. Who'd you see at Lilydale?
We went to, well, I forget his name.
It was 1983.
Yeah,
oh,
in
that's
the 80s.
Way mm-hmm. before I had a brain. So
around 80s.
No,
there
are superb people in Lilydale, and they don't charge huge amounts.
Yeah.
You know, the big names, and I won't name them. Well, they charge what they charge because, like you, they have books, but they also have PR flags and security guards, and they got to pay them. It's not a matter of how much you pay, though we all need to get paid, absolutely. It is a matter of being fair.
Right.
Charge
yes, it's what
fair.
You think you're worth. But fair is charging what you think you're worth, but also not bankrupting somebody simply so they think you're better than you are.
Right.
Exactly.
Which is very common, right? And there's all this whole camp of people that try to suppress psychics and mediums by saying, oh, it's spiritual work, therefore you should do it for free, and otherwise you're a fraud. And I think that's a real problem.
Well, I think that comes out of sort of like a Christian guilt thing.
Guilt thing that anything spiritual should be for free.
For free.
Psychics put in a lot of effort and work. We always do a half hour of preliminary meditation and automatic writing and channeling that we don't charge for before every reading, even if it's a half hour reading we're doing by phone or in person.
I mean, would you go to a hairdresser and say, cut my hair for free? I don't think so.
Or to a fireman.
But people have no compunction about saying to us, can you read me for free? I don't have any money. Well, if it's worth it, save your money. Go get a job. Save your money. It's worth it. We are worth it.
It's an investment.
This could change your life.
And we
have saved lives, by the way, through our work. So it's like people generally don't appreciate that too much. We've had literally people we talked out of suicide and come and threaten to kill us. So it doesn't, you know, it's like...
They blamed us.
Yeah, right. But it doesn't always work the way you want it to if you're dealing with people that are unstable. But
if there's no investment of any kind in either in barter or in money, I think you don't value the gift, and then you don't tend to get as much out of a reading if you just expect it for free. There's no investment that you're making.
And the ones that you read for free are always the ones that come back and say, oh, you were wrong.
Right, always.
It's a Disney commercial. You know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they're always, if they don't pay for it, they usually don't appreciate it or value it.
Exactly. All right, we're about to go to break. This is Corby Mitlide on the new Fire Through Spirit. We're here with the Psychic Twins, and we will be back with them on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
You're listening to Empower Radio. For a complete archive of Fire Through Spirit, visit empowerradio.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes and Stitcher Radio. More Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline next on Empower Radio.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold.
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree. Yes. That one.
The free-to-be-me, you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Yours to empower. This is Empower Radio.
Welcome back to Fire Through Spirit. This is Corby Midlide, and I'm here with the psychic twins, Terry and Linda Jameson. Something that I want to work on, and maybe we can invent it right here on the radio, is the Ten Commandments of the Professional Psychic.
Oh, that's good.
No, we're not an official group, but what can we do? What are some of the rules? Simple, but right there, that you would give to someone who says, all right, I am willing to put my life on the line to do this. And I'll preface it with a quote that I love. One of my favorite authors is Diane Duane, and she writes the Young Wizards series. And what she calls the Wizard's Oath is not so different of the way we ought to work. It's in life's name and for life's sake, I assert that I will employ the art, which is its gift, in life's service alone, rejecting all other usages. I will guard growth and ease pain. I will fight to preserve what grows and lives well in its own way. Nor will I change any creature unless its growth and life or that of the system of which it is part are threatened or threaten another. To these ends, in the practice of my art, I will ever put aside fear for courage and death for life when it is right to do so. Looking always toward the heart of time, where all our sundered times are one, and all our myriad worlds lie whole in the one from whom they proceeded. That's what we do,
beautiful.
And it's what
yeah.
I live by. Oh, Diane Duane is brilliant. And like I said, that's a big fat poster on my wall.
Beautifully worded.
So with that, but thank her. I just read it. But that with that idea in mind, if we were going to create the 10 commandments of the professional psychic, what would be the first one?
Well, the first one is to really operate in the way that you would want to be treated yourself, kind of the golden rule of the highest integrity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, don't lie. Don't hurt people. Do no harm. It's sort of like being a doctor. You know, don't be in this for personal gain, like in the sense that you're going to be rich and famous. You know, another thing that fake psychics do, we have a whole thing, a whole chapter in our book called How to Spot a Fake Psychic in our book, Psychic Intelligence. But a lot of fake psychics claim to reunite lost loves, like, oh, I'll bring your ex-husband back. Well, you're the only person that can do that. Nobody can do that for you. I don't care how many candles you burn. And so I really think it's like operate from a point of the highest integrity for the good of all would have to be number one on the list.
Yeah. Be a messenger of the truth and the light as much as you can. And also, shine a light to inspire, inform, and uplift people. Not just spout predictions of things you think they want to hear so they'll call back because they'll like you. And I think it's really important to tune in. And if you do get a strong feeling, say it, but always couch it in, this is what I'm seeing as a potentiality, and the future is mutable, and it probably could change with your will and intention. Don't ever say it's etched in stone, you can't change this. Let them know that it's really up to them to, with their will, intention, prayer, and action, to create something happening, rather than this is what I see and nothing can change it. And, you know, we always see the future as mutable. And it's about potentiality, the strongest potentiality we read in your auric field as being the most likely outcome.
I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. I've taught my people, don't ask me a yes or no question. If you say to me, is my business going to be successful, I'll give you the hairy eyeball and say, and what if I said no, it's going to tank and you're going to live in a box under a bridge? Wrong question. Ask what's empowering. How do I make my business rock? Then we look at what the energy is around it, where to look for the brick and mortar location, how you might want to market it, who you would look for staff. Ask for the pieces so that you can take your life and run with it, because life is neither happy, happy, joy, joy, or doom and gloom. I see it as a roller coaster, no breaks. You have your ups and your downs and your hairpin turns, and the best intuitive counselor, which is what we all are, will say, here are your opportunities and how to grab them. Here's the tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here's your toolbox. Go rock and roll.
Yeah, I love that.
When people say, you know, well, what if I got cancer? I said, I've done the cancer dance 3 times. And they look at me and I say, look, it's how you view it. And don't say, what did I do wrong to get this? Part of the work that I did with Robert Schwartz in the Your Soul's Plan series, it's a lesson that you can work with, learn from, and you will probably pass something on to someone else that they needed to know. Mm. So there is no bad luck. There is no curse.
There may be some tough things.
Right. There may be some tough stuff you have to work on, but that is where we as intuitives come in to show you what your options are. Very often when someone is having trouble in a relationship, I will say, well, here are your 3 options. And it's usually status quo, you do nothing, what I call the have the come to Jesus meeting, where you all go to counseling or you really face the problems head on, or hostile abide-by. You're really done, you don't want to work in it, and there's where you go. Am I going to tell them which one?
No. Right. We don't control people, but
that's
funny,
important.
The people will come to psychics and they'll come to us and they'll say, well, should I leave my husband? And we can't make that decision for you.
For them, yeah.
You know, but we can tell you what we see if you make the decision to stay together or if you make the decision to divorce. You know, I think that people want this psychic insurance policy.
Yeah.
They want us to agree with what they have already decided is in their best interest to do. And if we don't see, oh, this guy is your soulmate, they'll hang up on us. They'll get pissed. And, you know, that's fine. But, it, you know, we're just going to, you're going to get the truth from us, as they will from you, Corby.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I would say that number two is accept the fact that you show the way, but you're not the tour guide. You know, you cannot say over here is the building you should go into because there's something in there. Mm-hmm. All you can do is say, here's your map and here are the highlights.
I like that. Shine a light. Shine a light on the path for them and help them interpret what they might have to deal with karmically, what their karmic contract or sacred contract might be coming in. We get that a lot. We give that a lot to people, what we tune in terms of past lives that might have significance in informing their current life problems or situations or dilemmas. But no psychic should be like in 30 minutes or less, this solution to all their life problems. And it's amazing to us how people always expect us to be that insurance policy against any problems ever occurring again in their lives. It's crazy. Should we try to educate
people
about
that? Do you ever get someone who just say, well, tell me what my purpose is? Drives me
all the
crazy.
Time. All the time. Yeah. People really want to know what their spiritual purpose is and mission. Yes.
And to me, that's like saying, I was assigned to read War and Peace. Can you please give me the plot, the cliff notes, and the answers to the midterm? You find out the purpose of your life. You find out the purpose of your life by looking at what you've done. What are your patterns? What do you adore? And it's much better, because if I said, I see you're supposed to be an electrical engineer, now you've got another should.
Yeah.
You know, my father, a lawyer. I hate lawyers. No, I'm not going to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I found my calling through this crazy life that I've led. But now, at 58, doing this work full-time for 10 years, I get to get up every morning. I don't have to get up every morning. I found my purpose. And that joy is worth the delay, rather than just have someone tell you and you never have the joy of discovery.
It's true. It's like what your purpose is really everything that you do. It's kind of like your dharma. It's your life work. So, yeah, I think you're right. To ask that question is a little bit, it's very difficult to answer. But at the same time, it can be, you know, you could respond, your purpose is simply to love or to be love.
Or to bring healing light to the elevate the vibration of those around you or the planet overall. Wayne Dyer actually talks about purpose, a sense of purpose not being about what you do or about going on your ideal vacation. It's not realized by anything or anyone external to you. He says purpose is found by being willing to suspend your ego, knowing that you are eternally connected to God and surrendering the little mind to the big mind. And I love that. And he says you feel purposeful in everything you do, whether it's weeding a garden or shoveling snow or driving in traffic, you are bringing purpose to your life. And so it's a consciousness, it's a mindfulness.
I love Wayne Dyer, and yes, so I agree with that completely. I kind of see your purpose as your vapor trail, your legacy. So that when you go skidding into heaven on bald tires and fumes in the tank and God hands you beer, you get to tell them all the great stories.
Great.
So, all right, so we've got that. What else? What do we want for our fourth law?
Okay. A lot of people want lotto numbers. And it's like, I don't think that that's our job. We don't give lotto numbers. It doesn't stop people from asking, even though they know that we don't.
No.
So it's not our job to make you rich, kind of a thing.
Also keeping information confidential, because it's a very, you know, people are laying bare their souls. You know, often we as psychics hear a person's darkest secrets that they never even shared with their family members. And it's a high sensitivity of this kind of information that
psychics can't be cavalier with that and just sort of talk about it, you know, with other people or publish stories without their express permission. So I think that's an important thing to know, that it's sacrosanct, the work we're doing with a client. It has to do sometimes with suicidal feelings, or I really want to be a transgender. These are very, very sensitive subjects that cannot be discussed outside of that discussion with the client.
And along with that, I would say the next one would be, admit it when you can't connect with a client. There's nothing wrong with you or the client. It's just that you're not their reader.
Right. Very true. And you should end the call and say, I'm just not making a connection. I'm not sure why, but there's a block, and I feel like it would be unfair to pretend I'm getting some information about you just so I can, you know, continue the reading.
Yeah, there's something we call psychic abuse, where, you know, the client calls us and pays us, you know, and then they feel like, oh, well, I paid you, so I can be abusive. I can abuse you. Mm-hmm. And we won't allow that. We will send their money back.
Okay.
We tend to call them on that if they do that.
Yep. Also, there's something that I call remote spying. One of the things that I was asked once was, a woman sat down and said, can you tell me where my husband is sleeping with his mistress? And
right.
I said, I'm sorry, I don't do remote spying. Yeah. And she goes, oh, well, is he sick? Is he going to die soon?
Yeah,
and that's
a
case where I just gave her the money back. Yes. So realize, money is energy. If you're going to take money for information that is not yours to divulge, I promise you that money will be tainted, and it will not bring you joy or usefulness.
Yeah, again, it's
so
karmic.
Remember, money is energy.
It'll come back as bad juju, bad karma, something negative. Exactly.
Right. The next one I'm hearing literally is the sentence, plant just seeds, just as in just and fair. So that if somebody comes to you and says, gee, you're really good, I'd like to learn how to do this from you, teach fairly. Realize that the teacher-student contract is one of the most sacred and powerful. They are not your disciples. You are not a guru. You are a mentor. For me, a mentor is someone who will push you a little further than you think you can go, kick you out of the nest a little bit before you think you're ready, and will sit in the audience and applaud you when you get an award for maybe being even better at what you do than they were. Because that means the teacher is into the teaching and not into the ego of being the big boss.
Right.
Yes or no?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, James Arthur Ray is a perfect example of that. He's now in jail for murdering three people.
In the sweat lodge.
You know, yeah. And this guy was, you know, Oprah got behind him. So I really think that these narcissists are really some. There are some sociopaths that get into healing work, and they really try to turn themselves into a cult leader. And you know, there are people that, you know, completely give over all of their power to follow these people who are claiming that they know more than you. And I, you know, I'll control you if you follow me and you pay me, you know, $20,000 for a sweat lodge. And then, you know, he killed three people. So it's like, be very careful. Be very careful who you trust in this business.
And who you give your power away to. Don't give your power away to a psychic or a healer or a medium just because they seem to have a reputation, or they, I don't know, put themselves on some kind of a pedestal. It's taking advantage of, I think, people's vulnerabilities, especially when they've lost loved ones and they're coming to you just as any bridge, any connection to that loved one. It's important to honor that, you know, you want what will serve your client's highest good. And I think it's important to really have a strong faith-based sort of practice. I think all psychics should have some kind of faith. Based practice. We've had a daily practice of Buddhism for 29 years. We've been chanting every single day for 29 years to come from the highest integrity and intention in everything we do, not just our psychic work. And so I think that mm-hmm. is really what is missing with a lot of these gypsies and the fakes that are out there. They don't really come from a place of faith or high intention or integrity. So that should be one of the things on the list.
Okay. The next one for me, admit you're just the garden hose, it ain't you. I took a master class with John Holland in May, and his saying is, we're just the... a wonderful man. Showed me that I could do if I didn't think I could do, because when he's walking towards you and handing you the mic, you don't say, no, thank you. How about the guy next to me? So I will always be grateful for him for making me kick my game up a notch.
Yeah.
But the idea is, it's, you know, we are the instrument. The hammer does not go strutting around on the back deck and say, look at that deck. Look at that permawood. Isn't that a great nail? I was brilliant. The hammer just got whacked and somebody else held it. And that is what we do as intuitives. We are the instrument of however the central intelligence, God, Ralph the Wonder Dog, I don't care who you see it, but we are the tool. We're honored to do the work.
The conduit. Yes.
Okay. We got two more spots here for the commandments. What else you got?
I thought we were on 10. Wasn't that?
I felt like 10.
We hit about 15.
What do we have?
16 on
operate
that.
On the golden. Okay. Operate on the golden rule. Accept the fact that you've got to show your truths. It is not our job to make somebody rich. Confidentiality. Admit it when you can't connect.
Right.
Money is energy. Keep it clean. Plant just seeds and admit that you're just a garden hose. So I think we need like one or
and
two.
Don't try to control a person with the reading.
And there's another one, too.
And their choice.
Don't allow abuse. Don't do psychic spying. And have a faith-based practice. So there's three more.
There's a few more, yeah.
All right. Faith-based practice. All right. I am going to give a listen to this show afterwards, write them up, and I will send them to you because
thank
I have
you.
Never
That'd
seen...
Thank you. That'd be great. We'll post it.
I've never seen the Ten Commandments of Professional Psychic Ethics, and,
like
you know, it needs to get out there.
Great. I think it's time.
It is. Now, let me have you toot your own horn a little bit. So where are people going to find you? Where are you going to direct them so that if they go, oh, these guys were so neat, we can say, go get
them. Well, come visit us at psychictwins.com, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, twins.com. That's the only official Psychic Twins website. We have a Facebook fan page, The Psychic Twins. Our group is closed. We have 1,000 members, but we have 14,000 fans. And go to our Twitter page. It's Twitter/Psychic Twins, all caps, all joined, no spaces, Psychic Twins/Psychic Twins. And read our books, Separated at Earth and Psychic Intelligence. They're in stores everywhere. They're number one in U.S., Russia, and now China.
Yeah, it came out in Complex Chinese this past month, and it's a number one bestseller in the Russian language as well.
We're writing a couple of new books, so those hopefully will come out within the next year or so. And we're coming out in a Hay House book, Hay House Australia. We're being profiled in a book called Conversations with World Famous Mediums. Now, Psychic Medium. I don't know if that's the final title they decided on, but it should come out in August or September of this year.
Wow. Busy.
Busy bees. And David Baker wrote a book, too. So we're in that. We have two chapters in his book as well.
Wonderful. I cannot thank you enough for being on the inaugural Fire Through Spirit. I think that we're going to wake up a few people out there, and you are a pure, pure delight.
Corby, as are you.
It was a pleasure.
You're one of the great, strong, radiant lights of this field, and we are so grateful for you. I hope we can come back.
Oh, honey, red carpet, and I'll send a limo anytime you want.
We'll take it.
Okay, for all of my listeners out there, you can find me, firethroughspirit.com, Fire Through Spirit on the Facebook, and on Twitter, Corby Mitlide. So thank you so much for being with us on the inaugural Fire Through Spirit. We've got some fabulous guests coming up for you in the future. Greg Milk, our option mentor, is going to be back. We've got Chef Christy and Kasia of Whole Health Evolution. And, of course, on the quarters, we have Sharita Starr. So stick with us every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm going to be here, guys, and we need you. Remember, Fire Through Spirit means not only the healing fire through the spirit of compassion, but your job, which also is bring the fire of ideas to light the spirit of the world. We're all depending on you because we're all in this together. Until next week, it's Corby Mitlide. Have a great 7 days.